Hello, you're listening to The Wing Woman, brought to you by journalists and best mates, Charlie Gowns Eglinton, that's me, and Frankie Gradden, that's her. Frankie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Charlie. I'm fine. I'm in rainy Devon. Again, when am I not in rainy Devon?
It's a very good question.
London looks far sunnier.
London is sunny, but I'm going to Yorkshire at lunchtime today.
Oh my gosh, fun. Tell me all about it.
Very excited. Going to stay with some friends who do normally live in London, but are in Yorkshire at the moment. It'll be lovely. They've texted to let me know that they had to put the central heating on this week because Yorkshire is not balmy. So I'm packing my swimmers optimistically.
Very optimistically.
I visited last summer as well, and we did go for a swim. We went for a couple of swims. They weren't hot swims. It wasn't like soaking in the Med, but glorious nonetheless. We'll do some walks, but maybe we're back on the red wine and cosy jumper situation.
Some board games.
Yeah. How was your first baby-free holiday?
We made it to Lisbon. Honestly, by the time the news of all the flights being cancelled had been broadcast, I was just like, this is ridiculous. The universe is telling us not to go on holiday. But by some miracle of the gods, the stars aligned, our EasyJet flight did take off with only a 40-minute delay.
Fine.
Which meant I could have an extra miniature bottle of pink champagne on the flight.
Pink champagne. Are we using champagne a bit generously? Well,
it was Prosecco and they'd run out of the white stuff.
Fantastic. It's like you're on a hen do.
It was. Bench had some as well. It was so funny. We got on the flight. I exclusively packed black and white because I thought, you know, city break, city slicker. There was an accru in there, some gold jewellery. I was really going for that city break vibe. Ben always dresses in navy and white. He's quite a sharp dresser, I think. So in my head, we looked quite stylish, you know?
Yeah.
Also, we were in Bristol, and not to be rude to Bristol in the slightest, and this does come across as rude.
Not to be rude to Bristol in the slightest, but let me just be rude to Bristol.
But you could tell we were from London. There's just a different aesthetic.
Yes.
And we probably looked snotty and stuck up, but also chic.
So you were in the Matrix, and everyone else was like, we're going on.
Exactly. With like a straw hat and some pineapple shirt.
Also, you are normally wearing a straw hat, and your carry-on of choice on all summer holidays is an enormous basket bag. And you're normally in like a clog because that's the biggest, heaviest shoe that you've had to take out of your suitcase. So we don't know that you're one to be casting aspersions over here.
100%. I am not a chic traveller. But this one occasion, we were quite chic because we'd really lent into not having a kid. So then we get on the plane, order two bottles of pink Prosecco, put on an episode of the Kardashians. And I just thought if anyone had been observing us, they would have just been mind blown. Did not see that coming. Because it turns out we're absolute basic bitches.
I love that for you. And how was the actual holiday?
The holiday was absolutely fantastic. I mean, I think you could have probably put me in Hemel Hempstead for 5 days without a kid and I would have managed to have a really nice time. But Lisbon is just brilliant. Gorgeous, very hilly.
It's very hilly. I hope you packed your flat shoes.
I did, exclusively flats. The UK is just so grey and I just feel like in sunny countries, oh, everything's like yellow and pink and green and blue and so nice.
We have that at the seaside.
True.
It would just be silly in the middle of the city.
Could be uplifting.
You should paint your flat pink and find out.
Could do. Anyway, the weather was great. We arrived and it was a little bit rainy, but then it really cheered up. And the final day was scorcio.
Did you have lots of hot holiday sex? Because that's my favourite thing about a hot holiday. Said as a single woman who's not going on a hot holiday and doesn't have anyone to have hot holiday sex with.
I feel like a city break doesn't have the...
Francesca, let me live vicariously. Come on. No? A tiled floor? A balcony?
Well, we didn't have a balcony or a tiled floor. But I feel like it doesn't have the same vibe as a beach holiday.
Yeah, that's true. Where your skin feels tight and salty.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, hot.
We just mainly enjoyed doing things that you can't do with a kid. Like walking up steep hills without having to push a buggy.
Yeah.
The joy. Going into restaurants that there's just no way you'd be able to fit a high chair in them. You know, just like a cute little hole in the wall restaurant. I really miss doing that.
Yeah.
That was great. Going into a restaurant and not being like, oh, I really hope they've got something appropriate for a child. Didn't have to worry about it. We just ordered stuff and we were just like, don't know what it is, but we're just going to eat it anyway. Brilliant. Read some books.
Great.
It was just phenomenal. We did kind of 2 days of the obligatory culture, soaking up the city, went to see some churches, saw a monastery. And then the second 2 days, we just let ourselves off the hook and just laid by the hotel pool.
Had you been to Lisbon before?
No. Been to Porto. Beautiful. Haven't been to Lisbon. Only had one Portuguese tart, which was a shock. I thought I'd be eating them several times a day.
That is a shock.
But I'll tell you what we did discover. We didn't discover it. It's already a thing.
What is it?
Pina coladas.
Yes.
Here's my theory. You know, every summer there seems to be a cocktail.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember that summer of the Aperol Spritz? And then there was the Bacante moment. This is the summer of the pina colada. Because we went to the Time Out Bar in Lisbon, which is a recommendation. Absolutely brilliant. The Aperol Spritz bar, there was a dedicated Aperol Spritz bar. Empty. No one in the queue. No one was ordering it.
Right.
But around Lisbon, there are these wagons with pineapples. I think whoever's PRing pineapples in Lisbon, maybe pineapples have been getting a bad rep, or there's been a bumper harvest of pineapples this year. Something's going on, but there's these wagons in communal squares of pineapples, and then they're serving pina coladas out of them. They're delicious.
Do you remember that cocktail bar we used to go to in Spain?
Marbs. Yeah.
I used to get a pina colada, and I don't feel that you ever did. So
my experience of a pina colada is a UK-made pina colada, where all you can taste is just quite a lot of Malibu.
Yeah.
It's pineapple juice from concentrate, maybe. It might be like a tinned pineapple situation. Not there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, it didn't feel fresh. It felt too sweet and a bit cloying.
Okay.
But a fresh pina colada, God, it's good. I think we're going big on pina colada this summer.
Okay. The only thing is, how many can you drink? Because I can't imagine being double parked on the old pina coladas.
I managed to put away quite a few.
Great. Well, I'm here for it.
Good.
I'm just surprised. Maybe if I wasn't about to go to Central Heating Yorkshire, I would be thinking, yeah, I could get on a pina colada. But I'm just wondering if I should pack a Uniqlo down zippy. So
the answer is yes. You should always pack a Uniqlo down zippy.
But I really don't want to, because I don't want to need one.
I know.
Important question, though. So I am going on, it's actually a 2.5 hour train ride, because I have booked an express ticket.
Ooh.
Zippy, no changes, direct to Hull. Ding, ding. but big question here.
Uh-huh.
Train picnic.
Mm.
Did you do one on your way to Devon? What's in your ideal train picnic? Ideas welcome. Go.
Well, I love a train picnic, but I feel like we've only just been able to start doing train picnics again, because I've only just sort of got over my fear of eating on a train in a post-COVID world. The train picnic of choice is a Marks and Spencer's deli blowout, isn't it?
It is. Mm-hmm.
So you've got your 3 for 2 in the deli section. My choice would be those little tomatoes with the mozzarella balls.
Yeah.
Then you've got a stick of manchego, maybe, or it could be a different cheese. But it would make sense if it was a Spanish cheese, because then it's wrapped in a little Spanish ham, a little cigarello of cheese and ham.
Interesting. I don't want that.
No?
No. There's a really good feta with lemon.
Okay.
It's 10 out of 10, but continue.
Obviously, it's a bottle of Prosecco.
Mm-hmm.
Water, important. Crisps.
I like when you're on the Eurostar back from Paris and you've not thought ahead that well. So you buy a whole baguette and you've got maybe some cheese and some ham, but you don't have any utensils. You've bought a bottle of wine that requires a corkscrew.
Yeah.
You don't have a corkscrew, but all the stars align. You get a corkscrew from the bar cart. You just break off the bread with your hands and then you're just dipping into a cheese that is not a dip, using that as a bread shovel, nothing better. Oh, so if you see me on the 11:48 to Hull using bread as a shovel, just give me a wink, guys, because I'm living my best life. Would like some wine, but I don't know if that's too early and too short a journey. Is that weird?
No, you're on holiday. This is the thing about a staycation. The same rules apply.
Yeah.
Which isn't fair, because on holiday, everything's out the window. You're like, great, I've got a flight at 9 a.m. Mimosa before I go. Obviously, I'm going to drink on the plane. Obviously, I'm going to have some sweets for the journey. Time is not a thing.
Yeah.
Still swimming in the pool and you're like, oh my God, it's 8 p.m. Quick, let's have a beer and then have a shower and then eat. And like, all of a sudden it's 11 and you're like, fine, coffee after dinner, let's do it. Brilliant. That's the joy. You're released from the expectations, from your own self-enforced rules, you know?
Okay, yeah. Thanks, babe.
And I don't feel like you get the same release when you go on holiday in the UK, but release yourself from them. Do it.
Off topic, crisp sidebar. Have you seen Demna Gvasalia, who is the creative director of Balenciaga, maker of trends, often bizarre ones? He went to the graduate show of Antwerp's Royal Academy of Fine Arts and carried under his arm a packet of Lay's crisps, but an empty packet and a family size, seemingly as a handbag. I'm intrigued.
Very intriguing. Was it an actual packet of Lay's crisps, or was it an image of a packet of Lay's crisps crafted from your finest calf skin?
It looks like an actual packet, but that would be a nightmare because you just get that salty, oily residue on all of your stuff.
Trying to get that off your phone screen would be a nightmare.
He's probably got a team who could clean that out for him.
Probably.
But you'd also have to struggle not to rip the bag in any way. Even though that was a family bag, he didn't open it in my favourite way, which is you tear it down the back seam and you fold it out like a plate, because that would have ruined it and it wouldn't any longer be a clutch bag. So, interesting move. Maybe something we can all try.
Noisy though, to go to a fashion show with a packet of crisp bag, I'd say is borderline rude, because you couldn't reach in there without a significant rustle.
I don't think he was trying to fly under the radar. Unless he was literally eating crisps on his way in and thought, do you know what? These never start on time. You're always waiting 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm just going to finish my crisps. And he handed them round the front row after he handed round some sanitizer, maybe. Then I'm here for it. But if it was a handbag, I don't love it.
He's a genius because he makes people with a lot of money do stupid things with their clothes.
Yeah. Mm.
So I can imagine that there will be some fashion fans inquiring as to where to purchase his Lay's clutch bag.
I'm sure.
I can see it happening. In a couple of months' time, Charlie, we are going to be telling people where you can buy them from the high street.
I bet we will. But look, Frankie, I can't wait any longer. Let's talk about this. Good one. We're talking about Love Island.
Love Island, of course.
We are recording on Wednesday morning, so Frank has only seen one. I have literally just been catching up on the second episode at 7 a.m. So that's how I like to watch it, with my morning coffee. Makes everything seem a bit more grubby and sordid, like when you're thinking back to the night before. Anyway, what are your thoughts?
Okay, I mean, I was just excited for it. I am a fan. I thought the new pairing up was actually very anticlimactic.
Yeah. I've read quite a lot of talk online about the racial segregation of the new pairing up.
Yeah.
And that clearly the public want to see people just date within their own race, which is really problematic. And also, it was just bizarre because you don't know any of these people. So I could kind of see how that might have been a fun twist halfway through the show, if they did a repairing and got the public to vote and say, you know what, I think these people should be together.
Yeah.
When you're invested in the characters and you're shouting at your TV screen going, no, he's wrong for you. I get that. Now, we don't know these people. We're just looking at one square hairline and one round hairline and going, maybe you two would be a good match. Peculiar.
Yeah. I appreciated not having the women having to step forward and then the guy being like, oh, no, I'm going to go with her. But then just do it so that the guys have to step forward.
It was all really weird and awful.
Yeah.
But I don't think they fixed it.
No.
Just here's a sort of arranged marriage of a voting public. Because also, who's voting? Teenagers?
I didn't get the memo to vote, babe. Did you?
Well, no, of course you didn't. Isn't there an app or something that each year people vote on who's supposed to win via the app? I've never voted.
What would you do if I had the Love Island app?
I'd love you anyway.
I am really interested in the fashion, this series, because for the first time, it's all pre-loved clothes, isn't it? They've kind of done away with their partnerships with Boohoo, Misguided, whoever else. And apparently now they're all wearing... Is it stuff from eBay or is it just secondhand stuff?
I think the partner is eBay and Amy Bannerman, who is a fashion editor and stylist, is styling it, which is amazing. But in the adverts for it, you know, when they're sort of all posed against brightly coloured backgrounds,
yeah.
I got sent a PR alert saying exact match. So this was a publicity shot and one of them was wearing, I think it was a New Look bikini. So I thought, oh... I guess it's quite hard to find bikinis pre-loved.
I've seen them in their entrance swimwear and then their first evening outfit. And when they were all hopping off the cars in their swimsuits, I did think, oof, I probably wouldn't want a secondhand swimsuit. And I know it would have been washed, but it's just, it's the gusset situation, isn't it?
It is the gusset situation. But they could have paired with a sustainable swimwear brand. That would have been a nice move.
That would have been much better.
Or someone that uses recycled nylon. I kind of feel they spend so much time in swimwear that that's a bit of a cop-out.
Yeah, agree. But I'm excited to see how the outfits look.
Yes.
Because everyone looked very glam in the evening when I saw them. And if that's all pre-loved stuff, if that's all stuff they picked up from Depop, amazing. I think that's brilliant.
I do think they always look... kind of all the same in terms of their style. And I know there's a lot of swapping clothes around. So it would be quite fun if you actually get to see something slightly different to the very now aesthetic.
Mm.
And those tiny little dresses and the crop tops and the underboob and what we see every time. It'd be really fun if suddenly you saw someone doing a bit of a 70s crochet situation.
Yeah.
Or one of them just goes full 90s. And does a little butterfly clip. I would have a lot of time for that. Can you imagine? An 80s power shoulder. I want all of it. I think that would be really fun.
One of them, it's a Kenner, and he has a real passion for Crocs. And I like his girl he's been paired up with, India, hates bad shoes, and she just can't get her head around the awful shoes. But then he's doing that thing that women do, where they're like, Christ, he's got horrid taste in shoes. But I'm just going to try and look over that and be like, but you know, I think he's probably a nice guy. And like, well, he is tall and the rest of his outfit's fine. And I was like, God, if the shoe was on the other foot, excuse the pun, the guy would have been like, no.
I would love to see a Love Island of 35 pluses for that particular reason. Because I think certainly when I was dating in my 20s, I was so insecure and so sure that I... was hideous and unlovable, that honestly, you just put up with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even like someone and you can talk yourself into liking them. You convince yourself. You meet up with your girlfriends and they're like, how's it going? And you're like, yeah, I mean, I didn't immediately think I fancied him, but I think probably that's just because he's such a nice guy and his taste is different to what I expected. But... God, that's so shallow, you know? Who cares about that stuff? And you do that with everything. And you think, you know, actually, when you fancy a guy straight away, sometimes I think that's not the right thing. And it should be the kind of guys who are a slow burner.
Yeah.
You do this whole thing that I think 90% of Love Island is these girls going, I'm not sure right now. You know, he's really trying. And okay, he doesn't remember my name and he does flirt with all the other girls here, but I think he's probably a really great guy, so I'm just trying. And then the guy fucks them over and they go, I didn't see it coming. It's that. And if it were a 35 plus Love Island, I would love it.
Yeah.
It would be amazing just to see people be like, oh, fuck off. No, absolutely not. Red flag. I feel like I'm coming round to the Crocs.
No, I could not kiss the man who wore Crocs. I feel like I'm accommodating in a lot of areas, but for me, Crocs on a kid, I can deal with. Crocs if you're a doctor, I can deal with. Crocs on a man who doesn't need to get his feet wet and dry.
I can better handle a croc than a flip-flop on a man.
No. No.
Yeah.
Why?
It's just loose and rampant. And the long toes, there's nothing to encage them. So I just think an encaged sandal is better. It just gives a little structure.
Feet are a funny old thing. What I will say about Akena is he does pedicure his toes.
I love that.
It's been pointed out, and I did see a shot of his toe, and there was clear gloss polish on his nails. So I thought, well, look, if you are going to draw attention to your feet by wearing ridiculous shoes, at least you've done some maintenance on the toe. Here's a question. Did you know what a broken needle was?
Is that a sex position? It doesn't sound like it should be.
You know, they ask this question every year. What's your favourite sex position? Babe, I don't know any. I googled it, as I'm sure most of the country did as well. It just came up with YouTube videos of how to fix your broken sewing machine needle.
Is that how you get started in the position? What if you's tending the sewing machine? It's like that porn thing with the guy who comes to fix the washer.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He's come to fix the needle of your sewing machine. I just don't know any. And I thought, God, if someone asked me that question, I would be flummoxed.
I think you're a reverse cowgirl sort of type. But one of them said, just lies there or something. That's her favourite position. And that is very relatable. No. Don't want to be a chop. Don't really want to do that much work. I'll be very vocal in my enthusiasm. But do I need to be swung around? Sometimes there's too much. You're just getting into a rhythm. And then someone's a little bit over eager,
yeah,
and suddenly wants to change things up when you're just getting there. No.
Yeah, you've hit your stride and then suddenly your ankle's being pushed up towards your ear and you're like, whoa.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Exhausting. And I might get a leg cramp.
Yeah.
God, it's a workout, babe. I just think they're thinking about all the wrong things. They send them in there and they make them say what their favourite sexual position is. And they all say how wearing a certain type of a shoe is a red flag. And it's literally an experiment in how to make humans betray and cheat and snog everyone in one room. I mean, I love it. Obviously, I'm watching it. But I do enjoy that when you go in and you're in your 20s, you obviously think, the things that are red flags, they're not red flags. Those are not the red flags, guys. Shoes are not red flags.
I think I do maintain that a croc is probably a red flag.
It's not a red flag. I bet Ben's going to get some for the garden. I'm going to buy him some.
You bastard.
I'm going to buy him some for his birthday. He'll love them in the garden. What if they get a bit hosed on? This is the gold bracelet all over again.
Oh my God. So a popular jewellery brand gifted me and Charlie a very yellow gold chunky chain link bracelet. And we were just coming out of it all being about delicate jewellery. I was really into rose gold, which I know says just so much about me. Anyway, I opened the box, thought, that's awful, and gave it to my work colleague, who was chuffed about it. Later on in the week, we turn up for dinner, me and Charlie. She's wearing hers.
Yeah.
I was so mean about it. I was like, Charlie, why are you wearing it? Take it off. It's disgusting. She did. She never wore it again.
I gave it away.
Okay.
Because I'd been shamed and I was mortified.
A year later, I got gifted the same bracelet and I decided I loved it.
Wears it all the time.
Wore it solidly. I don't wear it anymore, but I did wear it solidly.
For about 2 years. And just the gall of this woman.
I'm so sorry. I think that's the meanest thing I have ever done.
Red flag.
It is a red flag. I'm a red flag. I did hate it. It just took me a while. But then I think I'm a late adopter. I mean, look at me. Pina colada. Where was I in the 80s?
Where
I've already been there. And I'm like, guys, have you tried a pina colada?
I'm just saying, I think you're going to warm up to Crocs.
I know.
And by next summer, you're going to be wearing a pair.
Well, it feels inevitable because year on year, they've grown substantially in profits. I've been detesting Crocs now for a solid 10 years. I just cannot fathom how they've become so popular. All I can think is that they must be so comfortable. Balenciaga have done them.
Mm.
Bloody Demna with his Lay's crisp bag, I'm sure, has a cupboard.
Crisps and Crocs.
Crocs. Imagine being the PR that was scratching around for a job and then someone was just like, look, there's this new shoe that's coming out and we need some help with it. You're presented with a Croc and you think, oh God, help. How am I going to PR these? Fast forward 10 years. Whoever that was is a genius because you can now spend 500 quid on a pair of Balenciaga platform Crocs with attachable gems.
Love Island.
Yeah.
So I read a piece on Grazia by Georgia Aspinall. How have people already decided Gemma Owen has an attitude problem? She's 19, and I think the main issue that people have with her is that Michael Owen is her dad, and so they've decided she thinks she's better than everyone else. I'm not getting that from her.
Oh my God, not at all.
But I definitely think it's really problematic that everyone's going in on a 19-year-old.
I was late watching the first episode, so I sort of saw all of this commentary about Gemma and her quote-unquote attitude problem before I watched the episode. So I was expecting there to be a lot more, and there was just nothing.
But also, this piece raises the issue, obviously, that all of these are contrived conversations that they've been told to have and scripted moments. And as of yet, she hasn't told people in the villa that Michael Owen is her dad. And so because there were rumours that Michael Owen's daughter was going to go on the show, the last name question gives her away. I mean, it's obviously done for ratings, but must be really bizarre as a 19-year-old, that's just so young, to be in this house and be trying to kind of get people to know you first before they decide that you're the Danny Dyer of this season and therefore a golden ticket. Because seemingly that's what most of these people go on Love Island for, to get the most Instagram followers and the most money when it comes to selling their fake tan. I mean, look at Molly May and her millions that she's making now as a fashion creative director because she chose well. Mm. And they became a power couple. And he was the celebrity one because his brother is a boxer.
Tyson Fury.
But that is a recurring theme, that whoever is producing Love Island obviously goes after any celebrity link they can find. They go after that so that they have that as a story. And then those people do tend to be really successful. They're not out in the first week because people have this real obsession with celebrity and they want to watch and they want to find out what it's like growing up in that world. And so I doubt she'll be out quickly. But interesting that because she's a woman, everyone's just decided she's up herself. Mm. If she's being a little bit hesitant to suddenly put all her cards on the table.
I know. And the fact that Twitter was upset that she wouldn't give the guy that she'd been paired up with, Liam, a lap dance in the dares. Okay, I know you're on Love Island. What do you expect? But that's mortifying. And I think you're well within your rights to be like, do you know what? I actually don't want to gyrate my hips in front of a bloke that I have met 20 minutes ago with a load of cameras pointing at me.
Well, loads of people have raised the age gap issue because the new guy who comes on, Davide, is 27 to her 19. Mm. And obviously 27 is still young, but that is a big gap at that age. But it also comes down to, yeah, as you say, this guy she's just been paired up with, who she's had no say in being paired up with as well. And I know they often don't have a say because it's just one of them picking. But the fact that they've been put in there, they just have to share a bed on the first night with someone they've just met who they didn't have any say in selecting, I find really peculiar. It's this weird arranged marriage new element of this.
Yeah.
We're just moving them around from the outside. We're just voting in to move our Barbie and Ken dolls around.
It is bizarre. And I don't know, should the age be upped? At 19, you're an adult. You are treated in society as an adult. You've got all of the benefits. You can vote, you can get married, whatever. But it does feel very young to be put in that situation. We have a history of putting incredibly young people on television. You know, look at all the pop stars. Atomic Kitten, Spice Girls.
Yeah.
Atomic Kitten.
I love that from you.
Where did I drag that up from? Sugar Babes.
Girls Aloud.
That was a reality TV show. So we do this. And we want to see young people on TV in their bikinis. This is why Love Island isn't full of 35-year-old people. I think she's only just turned 19. I did read somewhere that someone said when COVID hit, she was 16. And you're like, oh, Christ, that is very young.
Well, to be feeling that she's young already and then to say, do a lap dance for this man on TV while we all watch. Very weird. Horrible. Question. If they all looked their age, do you think suddenly it would be a huge problem? And I'm not saying they don't look their age in this era, because maybe they do, but 19 used to look a certain way.
Yeah, I mean, I did not look like her at 19.
I was still box dyeing my hair black. I hadn't discovered eyebrows at all. Lots of our friends still had braces at 19. I was wearing brightly coloured tights and ballet flats from Topshop. You had that t-shirt with a giraffe on it that you wore clubbing. I think we looked really young.
Yeah.
And if we were in a club with 28-year-olds, we would have looked like children to them.
Yeah.
Because we were wearing primary colours and t-shirts with illustrations on and a terrible makeup, but childish makeup, where it's just a juicy tube and you don't know what you're doing yet and you don't have the budget to know what you're doing yet.
This was before YouTube tutorials, which was kind of the first makeup tutorial. And obviously now you've got Instagram and you've got TikTok and everything is always telling you how to dress, how to do your makeup. And we will have had a beauty aesthetic at that age. I guess it was Britney and Spice Girls. It was more that.
It was Barry M Glitter.
Yes, it was. And Rimmel and that 17 brand. And maybe this is just because we're getting older, because I do remember my parents sort of saying, you know, when we were younger, oh, everyone just looks the same. But it does feel like everyone does look the same now when they're younger. And if you lined up all the girls in that villa, I wouldn't be able to tell you who was 24 and who was 19. I really don't think I would.
Because a lot of them model themselves on the Kardashians or on popular figures who are in their mid-30s, late-30s, 40s. And when they're dressing the same way as J-Lo, who's 50, 51, it's really hard to remember that she's 19.
Hmm.
Imagine if they all looked how their age used to look. If none of them wore proper makeup or they'd just done a slick of pink glitter on the eye.
Skincare wasn't a thing.
Done their own hair, but not done the back of it.
Had a burn on their ear from their GHD that was just far too hot.
Pair of accessorised chandelier earrings.
Oh, yes.
A sort of 2003 Topshop cotton dress with buttons down the front and maybe like a ditzy bird print that you thought you looked like Sienna Miller in. It would be so bizarre. I think it would be fun if they just put up a graphic on the screen. So as people moved around, their age was just always visible.
Yes.
I think that would be useful.
They are so much more composed than how I would have been at that age on television.
Yeah, this is true. Also, I really liked when all the girls first met and the boys weren't there yet. And any time anyone walked in by themselves, I was a bit nervous. It was just a chorus of, you look stunning. Stunning. You look stunning. And I actually love that.
Yeah.
I loved them all for that. Do you have any recommendations this week?
Beyond pina coladas and ditching your kid to go on holiday, no.
Those are both power moves.
Absolute power moves. I recommend reading.
That is a good recommendation. Reading, great.
What I did find interesting and annoying, I feel like pre-pandemic, when I went on holiday, I've never booked a restaurant. You just wander out to the nearest place that's serving wine, have some wine, and then stumble around until you find a little restaurant that you just pop into.
It was like that famous one in Barcelona, El Champagne, or however you say that. Not like that. It's with an X. That everyone goes to, that we've been to multiple times, and you just queue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just have to wait, and then you stand at the counter, and you finally get shoved into a table up against the tile wall. That is ideal holiday restaurant vibe to me, in a city. And then if you're outside of a city, obviously you don't have to wait because you can just rock up anywhere, no?
Is that it? You just go to the taverna.
But you had to book or you couldn't get a table?
Yeah, I couldn't get a table. Loads of places that people had recommended me that I obviously only looked at the lunchtime before the dinner. Everything was booked.
No.
For multiple days ahead. So maybe my recommendation is to book your dinners. Because that was quite sad.
It's not very spontaneous.
Exactly. Because I was like, I don't know what time I'm going to drag myself away from this pool lounger and sober up enough to be able to have a shower and put some makeup on. I don't know where the night might take me. Do I want poo poo chicken? Do I want oysters? Do I want pork? I don't know.
I like that you went Peri-peri chicken, oysters, and then struggle to think of a third different enough thing. Pork. You're right, babe. Pasta, maybe. That's a genre.
I'm in Lisbon. Iberico pork.
Okay, great. I bought my treadmill.
Shut up. Did you?
Yeah, yeah. It arrived yesterday at 7:04 a.m.
Oof.
The men carried it all the way up into my living room. Thank you, John Lewis, because it's really heavy and there's absolutely no way I could have managed. But it's on wheels now, so now that it's up here, I can wheel it about and you unfold it.
Lovely.
And pop it up.
And have you used it?
I mean, it only arrived yesterday and obviously I'm going away today. But it was really expensive, so this absolutely cannot be a thing that I use once and then never use again. I wrote a piece yesterday. I was writing a fashion piece for today's Times. So I set it up on my landing at my standing desk, which is a pop-up shelf, and walked as I wrote. Can type. Walking very slowly, mind, because otherwise I would have been too bouncy.
Yeah.
Great.
Wow.
Didn't have any disasters. Did that for about, well, 4 hours or however long it took me to write the piece. Then I moved it into the living room and I watched TV while walking.
Oh my God, lol.
Which is guilt-free TV watching in my book. Because no longer will I have to decide between watching the TV, which is what I really want to do, and going for a nice walk. I can do both, babe. I love it.
Well, congratulations. I'm delighted for you.
Thanks very much.
I think that's all we've got time for. Thanks so much for listening. It's been a pleasure. If you like what you have heard, please feel free to rate, review and subscribe and tell your friends.
You can get in touch with us at thewingwomanofficial@gmail.com and find us on social media at Frankie Gradden, at Charlie Gowans and collectively at thewingwoman_.
Good.
Great.
We'll see you in the fortnight.
Bye.